It's always a relief to come among God's people, to be associated with them. I remember the first time I ever walked in a congregation of God's people, and it was way back in, I guess, 1969, and I'd already been a Sabbath keeper for a long, long time. I walked into a Bible study, and here were all these ladies with no makeup, a lot of little kids. Every man had a briefcase, and a good part of them were farmers from northeast Arkansas. I remember the impression that I had after that first Bible study, because I'd been keeping the Sabbath on my own, felt isolated. I'm sure there's a lot of you that can equate with what I'm talking about, felt very isolated and alone because I believed all these things that no one around me believed. My family didn't believe it. My mother and father didn't believe it. They thought it was real strange that, you know, I wanted to go to, that I'd close my business on the Sabbath, or that I didn't want bacon for breakfast anymore. All of us know that. And so I felt alone. And I walked, and I was a pretty arrogant, cocky guy in those days. Fairly successful. Owned a couple of brand new cars. I think I had probably close to 30 suits of clothes. And I was, you know, real proud of myself. Real proud. And I walked in amongst all these common people. That's what I'm calling us, folks. By the world's standards, common people. Little did I know that I was going to walk out of there one of them. And I can remember what I thought after that Bible study. I can tell you the two ministers' names that conducted that Bible study. I can't tell you what their subject was, but it was the people. It was God's people that impressed me. I saw their dedication. I saw their commitment to God. A lot of things have happened in those years. My third decade in the ministry, I wanted to just take a brief moment and talk a little about the church. I want to talk about all of us individually and our responsibility towards God. And in spite of all the things that have happened and all the things that will happen, because they will happen. If you're a student of the Bible and you've read the New Testament, you know what happened to the early New Testament church. You know what happened. Don't think that you and I are any better and that we're not going to have to deal with the same kinds of situations that that early New Testament church had to deal with. We've already learned that. Surely we have learned that, those of us that go back 25 years or more. I want to turn to 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, and I want to talk about something that I think that we overlook. We're wrapped up in this society. Certainly we're a people that are trying to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. But we live in this world, and we're sort of wrapped up in this world from time to time, and it's a gleary world out there. And so some of our peace and safety, some of our comfort zone has been taken away from us. We think we're sophisticated. In fact, that's one of our problems, one of God's people's problems. And one of the reasons that I think that Satan can get to us so easy is that somehow we think that all of us now, individually, I'm not throwing stones at any of you. I'm right out there with you. I'll hurl one and run right out in the audience and let it hit me because I deserve it just as much as you do. But we all deserve it. We think we're sophisticated. We have all these modern conveniences. And we sort of read the Bible and we look back and, oh, maybe we don't say this, but we sort of think it we're really better off than those people back there. We're really smarter than those people back there. We're closer to God than those people back there. And we do. We have a vast amount of information. We have the scriptures. But everything that happened to them can happen to us. It can happen to us. Let's look in 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. And I'm going to read a considerable amount of this because what the Bible has to say is a whole lot more important than what I have to say. Moreover, I would not that you should be ignorant. Now, none of us want to be ignorant. You know, the Apostle Paul used this word a lot of times to God's people, and yet, and he used it with good reason. Because sometimes we go to sleep and we are naive and we become ignorant. Even though we've known things, we forget those things. I would not have you be ignorant how that our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did drink the same spiritual drink, and drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. And here's an important thing that most people totally miss. The God of the Exodus from Egypt was Jesus Christ. And it says that. That rock was Christ. But with many of them, God was not pleased, for they were overwhelmed in the wilderness. God wasn't pleased. Now, verse 6 tells us something that too often we don't pay attention to. Too often we don't pay attention through. If people had have paid attention to it, we wouldn't be meeting in this room today. We'd have it turned back around like we used to have it, and it would be full. I've seen it full. What happened? Why? Why? God pleased with it. But we're so sophisticated that we couldn't learn anything from these people. Ancient Israelites that came out of Egypt. You know, I've heard it said, boy, if I could have lived in Bible times. Let me tell you something, you are living in Bible times. If you could have lived in Bible times, if I could have lived back then, I've heard people say, well, if I'd heard God's voice, I would have obeyed Him. They didn't. They heard Him thunder the law down from the mountains. And they did just exactly what people do today and what we sometimes do. They thumb their nose at God's law and said, shut up, don't tell me how to live. And it's not just in Corinthians, Paul uses just the people of the Exodus. But all the Bible is written for this purpose. Corinthians is written for this purpose. Now, these things were our examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Neither be idolaters. And I'm going to talk about idolatry a little more in a roundabout way today. That's really not the subject of the sermon, but we will touch on it. As they were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. And every time puritanical people see the word fornication or adultery in the Bible, they automatically assume that it's talking about sex sins. In these things, it's talking about fornication and adultery against God. Illicit relationship with the wrong God. And that could be another subject. Neither let us tempt Christ. Now, this brings it up to the time of the Corinthian church. It's recorded in the Bible. Brings it up to us. You think we've tempted Christ? Yeah, we have. We still do. Lack of faith, lack of obedience? Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by the serpents. Neither murmur you, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Boy, I've heard a lot of murmuring. My ministry, I've heard a lot of murmuring. Now, all these things happened to them for examples, and they were written for our admonition. Brings us right up today that everything in this Bible that those people came out of Egypt, the Exodus, was for our admonition. Do we really believe that? Or we think, well, those poor people, we're better off than them. We've got electricity, air conditioning, running water. We've got Charmin in our bathrooms. I mean, we really think that way sometimes. We're not any better. We're not any different. Human nature is just the same today as it was 4,000 years ago. And Satan the devil knows that. And he knows how to use it. And we're so stupid most of the time that we allow him to do it. Ah, that sounds fairly harsh, but that's what it says. Now, all these things happen to them for examples. They are written for our admonition, upon whom the end of the world is come. The end of the age. The end of the age. Now, verse 12. And this is the biggie. And this is speaking to each and every one of us. We need to take this one personal. Wherefore, let him that thinks he standeth take heed, lest he fall. We need to read that one, and we need to go back and read it again. Now, I want to look at some principles. I want to lay that foundation. I want to go back and look at some simple principles that we think in this modern day, in this modern society, that somehow we're above this, that it doesn't apply to us, that it applied to the ancient Israelites, or it applied to the Corinthians, or it applied to those churches that the Apostle John wrote about, particularly the one in 3 John with Diotrephes and Gaius. And I'm not going to go into depth on that. I think most of you are pretty good Bible students and know exactly what I'm talking about. We think somehow that those things will never happen to us, that we'll never have to deal with those things. Let's go back to Deuteronomy a moment, and I could read all sorts of scriptures all through Deuteronomy and Numbers, and could go over to 1st and 2nd Chronicles and 1st and 2nd Kings and Judges and every place in the Bible you see that God has to raise up a new leader and the people will be obedient to God, and it seldom lasts a generation. And there's one underlying principle in all the Bible. Everything that God says, there's an underlying principle that we would find over in Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter, and the 14th verse. Simple admonition to the people we were talking about, that Paul's talking about over in Corinthians, the one that came out of the Exodus. And by the way, they didn't listen. They saw the cloud that was over Israel and kept them in the shade as they came out of Exodus through those deserts. They saw the pillar of fire. They saw the waters, the rock bring forth water. They saw the Red Sea divided. They heard the very voice of God give the Ten Commandments, and they said, "Give us a man. He hurts our ears." I had I've got a niece. She's grown now, but when she was little, that's what she used to say. If you would correct her, she'd put her hands over her ear and say, "Be quiet, you're hurting my ears." And that's what people have said to God. And it says in the 14th verse of Deuteronomy 6, a simple thing: "You shall not go after other gods of the gods of the people that are round about you." Now, that doesn't apply to us today. We're more sophisticated than that today.
Oh, really?
And verse 15 gives a little qualification of one of the a good reason not to do this. For the Lord your God is a jealous God among you, lest you anger the Lord your God, and the anger of the Lord your God be kindled against you and destroy you from off the face of the earth. And actually that happened to all these people except for Joshua and Caleb. Except for Joshua and Caleb. Nobody else listened. Nobody else believed God. Nobody believed him. Do we believe him today? Are we too concerned about our personal comfort, our personal welfare, what people might think about us, our egos, our prestige, the money we might have in the bank, or the money we might want to have in the bank? You know, these are not important things. These are not important things that we look at. The most important things is to know who God is. Now, turn to Judges just a moment. And I want to turn to chapter 2 and verse 11. And we find this happened ever so many generations. I mean, I could just go through the Bible, and I really have never counted up how many times God had to say this to Israel. I wonder how many times he has to say in his record of our conduct, and by the way, he is keeping one, how many times that he's had to say this in the course of human events. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam. They took on other gods. And I want to make a point. I'm going to make this one real heavy a little later on. When you take on another god, you take on that god's religion. You remember that. We're going to look at something from a little bit of a different perspective. And they forsook the eternal God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods, and the gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves unto them, and provoked the Lord to anger, and they forsook the eternal and served Baal and Ashtaroth. They served Baal. You know what the Hebrew word Baal is? It's not just translated here. They could have just as well translated Lord. That's what the word means. They called God by the same name as they called Baal. You know, recently, down in my area, they had a rash of counterfeit $20 bills. Some nice little ladies went around to yard sales with counterfeit $20 bills, and they'd go in and buy something for a dollar, a few cents, and give a $20 bill, and they'd get back the change in real hard American money. There's something about counterfeit bills, and you need to realize this about religion, because there is a comparison. You can have two bills in your hand. They're both $20 bills. They can look alike, and by definition, they're both $20 bills. The only thing, one of them is counterfeit. You know, as you go down through history and the history of the Bible, Satan the devil has always counterfeited God's religion. He's always counterfeited God's religion. We don't think a lot about this. There's a lot of religions in this world. I could mention some of the pagan religions. I could mention Buddhism. I could mention, I could even right now in the United States mention the Muslims. And, you know, I get a variety of opinions, but they're different religions and they have different gods. They don't know the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now, some people wouldn't like, what do you mean? What do you mean? Well, I'm going to quote a scripture that people don't like to hear. One that God himself said. If you say you know me, if you say you know my name, and you don't keep my commandments, you're a liar and the truth is not in you. I didn't say that. I just quoted it. other gods. We say, why? All these religions, we might look at the Buddhist and we might look at certain religions, and I'm not anti anybody. I'm very thankful that the United States of America has freedom of religion. I'm very thankful for that. In a secular world, it is a tremendous blessing to us. Tremendous blessing. Because God's people have not always been able to gather together in peace and safety and out in the open. They haven't been able to. That's something that goes along with this generation. And the world is full of religions. And we have freedom of religion as a nation. But when it comes to God, let me tell you something. These people don't like to hear this either. With God, you don't have freedom of religion. You either have His religion or you have the devil's religion. And again, hard statement. Go back to the Garden of Eden. Another subject. You have His religion. Let's just for a moment go back to one of those commandments. Easiest one to break. It's the one, if you break it, you've broken all the rest automatically in principle. And that's the first one. Exodus 20. And the first commandment. You shall have no other gods before me. Now, if you pick up another god, what do you pick up? You pick up another religion. You pick up another religion. Let's just look at that a little different. You can accuse me of changing the scriptures here, but let's look at that just a little different. You shall have no religion but my religion. That's what it means, isn't it? That's what it means, isn't it? But it's so harmless. Now, I suppose that everybody that's here keeping the Feast of Tabernacles in accordance with the instruction of Leviticus 23 and certainly other parts of the Bible, but it's all codified there in one chapter in Leviticus 23, starting with the weekly Sabbath and right down to the last great day. It's all codified, and as God's people, we believe He meant what He said. We believe He meant what He said. And we need to not compromise on what we understand. Now, how do you identify the people that are being obedient to God's word? And I'm not being cocky. I'm not looking down on anybody. We've all made individual choices to try to do what we believe is obedient to God. That's not arrogance to be that way. In fact, it's pretty humble, because we have all bowed our knee to God and says, yes, I want to try to do what you want done. I want to have your religion. Well, how do we identify God? Do you think that anybody that kept the days in accordance with the commands of the Bible would have an identifying sign? I think everybody in this room that's a member of the church knows and understands that the Sabbath is an identifying sign of God. We know that. We've heard sermons and sermonettes and read booklets and studied our own Bibles and actually believed what it said. We know that that's a sign. Well, do false gods have a sign? Yeah, they do. They have a sign. And they're still out there. They're still out there around religions. There's idols made of stone. Now, we don't bow down and worship idols. The commandment that says don't make any graven image of any likeness, we're sort of half-hearted about that in a lot of ways. We're very tolerant, and it's okay to be tolerant, but that doesn't mean that it's okay for God. We're all okay with God for us to bow down to false idols. Doesn't mean it's okay with God because we are tolerant of other people. We're supposed to be tolerant. There are other identifying signs. Do you know, anciently, do you know what days Baal worshippers kept? Do you know that they had identifying signs? Do you know what days the worshipers of Ra, the sun god, kept during the years? Do you know what days Ashtaroth kept? Do you know what days that modern day Satan worshipers keep? And I'm not going to get off this Satan worshipers conspiracy, all this stuff, no. But they're out there. Oh, you can get on the internet and check out their sites. They're out there. You know what days they keep? Well, they keep the first day. They keep December the 25th. December the 25th is the day of the sun god. And people know that. People know that. You know, one time I had I was meeting with a ministerial alliance locally, and there were Catholics and Methodists and Baptists, and all these guys were good friends of mine. We did some projects in the town together, and they respected my beliefs, and I didn't bother them. We were good friends. I had breakfast with them at least once every month, and I remember came October, and they came in, and they were pretty gloomy, and we were just laughing around. They knew my beliefs and actually respected them, because in a lot of cases they had read the Bible too, but they couldn't preach what the Bible said because their salaries and their jobs depended on it. They actually stood up and gave me an ovation at breakfast that morning because I taught against Halloween. They knew. One of them came to me privately and said, "I know about the Sabbath, and I know it's right," but said, "My church just wouldn't do that. I know it's right. I know it's what the Bible teaches. It teaches from front to back. If you don't believe that, ask the Catholics. They'll tell you exactly what it teaches." I believe that. Had a young Baptist minister that I really got to be good friends with because he had kids in school, and actually I'd go pick up my kids and he'd pick up his kids at the same time, and he'd come over to my car while we were waiting for the kids, and I'd roll down the window and he'd lean over and say, "Well, I've noticed that you don't eat pork when we have breakfast together. You never eat that." I said, "You keep the food laws, don't you?" I said, "Yeah, I do." He said, "Well, anybody knows that Christ didn't change the structure of a pig when he died." And he asked me for all sorts of literature and things because he knew. We discussed Easter. We discussed those things. He's a good guy. God hadn't called him and hadn't opened his mind, but he did understand. He had been through seminary. He did know what the Bible teaches, but he just knew that he couldn't teach it and still get his salary. That's what he knew. And we were good friends. And I liked the guy. And I don't know where he is now, but I wouldn't mind to sit down and talk to him. I wouldn't let him teach me about religion, because a man that knows and doesn't do, he's going to be beat with a lot of stripes. I don't want to be close. So these things we know. We can look out there. We can see the religions out in the world, and they still have their phallic symbols, their astropoles that went right along with every site of Baal worship. And we say, it's okay. It's okay. How do you think God... You think God feels any different about it than he felt here? You think we should not be aware of it? Do you think we should try to copy and mimic? You know, it's easy to look out at the glitter of the world and the churches of the world. And people... Boy, get on the wrong place here. Look out and say, "Oh, that all looks good." It's what he told ancient Israel to do. Don't you go out and long after other people's religion. You listen to my commands and you adhere to my religion. Now, I want to talk just briefly about this thing of compromise. We, you know, words mean a lot of different things to us. And we understand in the area of human affairs that's necessary. That's necessary sometimes in personal relationships. If you've got a man and a wife or a married couple that won't compromise, they're not going to be married long. It's not going to work. There's going to have to be some compromise. And so I want you to understand, I'm not saying that there's not a legitimate use of compromise, but I do want to say, And I want to say adamantly, there is no room for compromise when it comes to obedience to God. Absolutely no room at all. You don't compromise with other religions. I want to go to the book of Daniel. I want to use two examples out of the book of Daniel. Sixth chapter, and actually what happened, King made a decree. And he made a decree that anyone in the kingdom that asked any petition of any god or of man for 30 days, you only ask the king for a petition. You only ask the king. Boy, this sounds familiar, nearly with you know, dictatorships, and it's evident this king was really trying to establish his position. Good things only come from the king. And he made a decree, and he signed the papers. It tells us that in verse 8, that it was signed. And immediately after it was signed, if you remember, Daniel had a position in the Babylonian government. Even though he was an Israelite, Jewish boy, he had a position, a powerful position. And so what did Daniel do? Now, here'd be an easy place to compromise. Here's another religion, another god. Oh, it was a man this time. You know, a lot of men put themselves off as God. A lot of men palm themselves off as God from time to time. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he waited until it was signed. He went into his house, and his window being open in his chambers towards Jerusalem. Now, here's the time, Daniel. Shut that window. You can go ahead and do what you want to, and it won't matter. He kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before God as he did aforetime. And what did they do? They came and arrested him, and you know the rest of the story. He wound up in the lion's den. But Daniel did not compromise. He didn't compromise. There's another group of people in the book of Daniel, and it's over in the 3rd chapter. Actually, this is before what happened with Daniel. It's over in the 3rd chapter of Daniel, and this is about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Oh, there's been gospel songs about them. I'd hate to think about how many sermons were given about them, have been given over the years, and how many times they've been used for examples. But they're such good examples, because they wouldn't bow down and worship the golden image. Another god, another religion. They wouldn't compromise on what God said for them. Oh, that we could be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That we could have their attitude, because listen to their attitude. And they were arrested and taken up there to the fiery furnace. And here's what they said. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hands, O King. But if not, how about this attitude? And I believe Keith sort of mentioned this principle in the sermonette today, quoting the Apostle Paul, to be happy with the state we're in. You know, not to be unhappy. You know, one thing about people that are converted, people that have God's Spirit, and I've sure learned this in the last 30 years in the ministry, converted people are happy people. Irregardless of the situation they're in. Oh, that, I mean, they don't cry, and they don't hurt, and they don't grieve, and all sorts of things, but they're happy people. God's Spirit makes you rejoice. So what he said about rejoicing is an important thing. If you see yourself getting bitter, I'm not talking about getting mad. It's okay to get mad. Be angry and sin not. Just don't let the sun go down on it. That's part of human nature. Actually, God gets angry. You don't want to get God angry at you. But let's look at this attitude that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had. But if not, God, if you don't deliver us, if you let them go ahead and throw us in the furnace and we feel that searing pain and we're disintegrated instantly because they made the furnace 7 times hotter. But if not, be it known unto you, O king, that we will not serve your God nor worship the golden image which you have set up. We will not serve that image. You know, there was 3 things that Shadrach, Meshach wouldn't do. The 3 B's. They wouldn't bend, they wouldn't bow, and they wouldn't burn, because God did deliver them. There was a 3rd man in that fire, and he was likened to the Son of God, because that's who he was. The one that became Jesus Christ was right in there with them. Now, would their faith have been less in God had he not? No. No, it would not. And sometime in your Bible study, you might look into it. Nothing absolutely nails it to the wall, but if you look Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you'll find that they also had Hebrew names. And after the Babylonic captivity, that people went back, and you'll look 2 Chronicles, but if you look where they went back from that Babylonic captivity, you'll find out that there was 3 men there at the restoration of Jerusalem with the same Hebrew names as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And I suspect they lived long lives and became old men and saw Judah returned out of captivity. They were powerful people. You know, we're at a time when, I want to say this to God's people, we have been divided, we have been scattered, and this makes some people happy. And I know there are people from other schisms out there, and people like to travel around and visit this one or that one and have a good time and say, well, I like the people and all these things, and that's fine and good. That's not bad. But I want to ask you a question. You have to answer the question to God, not to me. You think God's happy with that? You think that's what he wanted? You think he wanted all these Israelites that came out of Egypt to have to wander around the wilderness for 40 years and be destroyed? God's church right now is wandering in the wilderness. And there are deceivers out there. There are people that will try to lead you astray. And I realize it for a long time. Everything I teach out of this book, I am going to have to answer to Almighty God for. A little healthy fear of God is not a bad thing. And the same, if you're out there listening, don't believe it because I say it, or because somebody else says it, or because somebody's a performer or what I call a stage prancer. Believe them because it comes from the Word of God. We have a foundation of understanding and knowledge that is right. It's not perfect. We don't know all, but it is right. Hold on to the faith. Hold on to the faith. Don't necessarily hold on to an organization, but hold on to the faith. Hold on to God. Don't accept other gods. Don't accept false doctrines. Beware of wolves in sheep clothes.